Hello, everyone. This is Anna Verzoni with FreedomJunkie.com, and I think there was a little bit of a delay there, so I apologize if you weren't hearing me there for a while, but I am here, and welcome to our second Ayurvedic cleanse call, and this is the beginning of the actual cleansing, so congratulations, everyone, for putting all your effort into the prep week. I saw a lot of activity and a lot of questions on the forum, and so I really appreciate your support that you're giving each other there and the depth with which you're thinking about this cleanse and preparing for it, and you're definitely setting yourself up for success by doing that. And I know that this is a little bit of a different cleanse. I think, you know, most people are used to pretty, you know, like, oh, I'm either doing a raw food cleanse or a juice cleanse or a nourishing cleanse. And with the Ayurvedic one and the different phases and the different tonics and whatnot, it's a little bit different. But, hey, it's not boring, right? And so that's why we're doing this spring, something a little bit different for everyone. So I just want to acknowledge you all for your courage in trying something new here. So, in any event, I wanted to let you know that for this particular cleanse, I am wanting to start off with reviewing a couple of the key points because I think it's really intimidating at first, you know, with all of these different options and with all of the different recipes and the herbs and things like that, we can end up getting a little bit confused about, you know, what to really focus on in the cleanse. And really with this cleanse, there are some basic principles. So I want to go over what those basic principles are. And then I want to go into some detail about, you know, the different phases of the cleanse that we're going to be in before our next call. So because, you know, for our next call, we're going to be going into phase one and two, I want to cover those two phases. And then for the third call, for our final call, I'll go into phase three and sort of how to come off the cleanse, okay? So in terms of, I just want to make sure that we're recording here. Yes, we are. Okay, good. So in terms of the basic tenets of the cleanse, I want you to remember that should all else becomes super confusing to you, I really want you to focus on just these few things. And these few things are on page 33 of your ebook, okay? So let me just get to page 33 myself. Let me see if this works here. I'm trying to use my iPad a little bit more efficiently. So it kind of worked pretty close. All right, so... Anyway, the essential guidelines of our cleanse. One is the three meals a day, okay? And the real underlying reason for the three meals a day is not because you want to eat few calories. It's because you want to access your fat stores. So I really want to emphasize to you guys that in this particular detox, what we're focused on is really accessing the toxins that are in your fat cells. Now, some other cleanses like elimination diets and things like that have a lot of focus on not eating allergenic foods, like foods that cause, you know, an allergic reaction in the body, like eliminating soy and eliminating gluten and eliminating some of these other things that cause a lot of allergies in a lot of people or food sensitivities. In addition, there are other cleanses that focus, you know, more on giving you superfood nutrients or on just eliminating a lot of different foods so that your body can just focus on detoxing, such as like, you know, juice cleanses and whatnot. This particular cleanse is focused on accessing the toxins that are stored in your body in the long term for up to like 20 years or more in our fat cells. If you read the ebook, you'll remember that Dr. Giard talks about how water-soluble toxins are actually fairly well eliminated from the body because of our kidneys. So if we drink enough water, our kidneys can flush them out. Fat cells don't just release toxins. You have to actually access the fat cells and break down the fat. So the three meals a day is important because if you're snacking all day, you're not accessing your fat stores. Your body's simply able to wait until the next intake of food, like a snack, instead of accessing the fat stores, okay? Now, so I think personally that the way they write the book should be writing that as an essential guideline, because that underlies so many of the reasons behind the other parts of the cleanse. For example, you also want to be doing the lifestyle practices. I know that they say it's optional in the ebook, but I really want to encourage you to really prioritize being low stress during this detox. And that's because for the same reason that we don't calorie starve in this cleanse, the reason we don't calorie starve is when your body's hungry and it's stressed out, it's not going to access the fat stores. It's going to go, I'm stressed out, I'm going to hold on to this fat because who knows what the hell is going to happen next. So what you want to do is, eat enough. Same with emotion, right? If you are not relaxed, if you are not chilling out, then, truth be told, you're going to be holding on to those fat stores for so many reasons that I don't have time to go into all the hormonal regulation and whatnot here. But when your body and mind and spirit are not relaxed as a whole, you will hold on to fat more. So be sure to use those lifestyle suggestions. The meditation, the yoga, the exercise. So you want to be sure to focus on those during the cleanse in order to help yourself relax. Now, another main part of the cleanse that kind of falls into this is blood sugar balancing, okay? That's another reason for the three meals a day. The blood sugar balancing really, by training your body to go with three meals a day, you are helping your body to not depend on a steady supply of blood sugar so that you're so sensitive that if you're not constantly eating or not constantly snacking, you're going to crash. That's not normal. And people go, oh, well, I have hypoglycemia. You don't have hypoglycemia. Hypoglycemia is a symptom of an underlying imbalance. It's a symptom of not being able to access your fat stores. It's a symptom of other imbalances going on. So as you train your body to go to three meals a day, and remember, in this cleanse, you can go with four meals a day if you need to. It's not about starving. It's just that the longer you have between meals, the more you're going to access your fat stores. So ideally, you're three meals a day. If you can't do it, do four meals a day until you're comfortable, okay? But your blood sugar will become more balanced over time as you start eating big enough meals with the right ingredients to carry you over from meal to meal without crashing. And some of the key things you can do for that are having more protein with your meals or eating bigger meals itself, all right? The other thing is rehydration. If you remember in the ebook, there's the analogy about the leather. Like, you can't just pour cold water onto leather and then expect it to soak it up. You need it to be able to be kind of softened up first and soaking in hot water to absorb the water. Same with your body, to open up those aquaporins. It's nice to have hot sips of water throughout the day, and you're not hydrating with the hot water. You're opening the aquaporins with the hot water, and then you're drinking room temperature, clean, simple water throughout the day to actually rehydrate. So the hot water is to open up the pores for the absorption of the room temperature water. And I know that's why drinking really pure water is important, because tap water in most places tastes absolutely nasty. So that could be so gross for you. So definitely be drinking as pure water as you can. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have tea or, your other liquids that you like. It's just that doesn't count towards your plain water quota, okay, because it does take extra steps for your body to process that. And also, the boiling of the water in Ayurveda is particularly important because of purifying it. And if you think about it on a chemical level, a lot of the, impurities in water are released in the form of gas once the water is boiled as well. So the other aspect of this cleanse are the herbs. And I know that some of you didn't order the herbs for whatever reasons. The cool thing is there are herbal alternatives. So if you look, I believe it's on page 40 of the ebook, There are options to all of the herbs. Now, I know that the two main, like the manjushka and then the, let me start with the S. I'm having pregnancy brain right now, so I can't remember. Sorry. But basically, with those two herbs, let me look it up here just because I don't want you to, like, wonder what the hell I'm talking about. But with the herbs, you want to be able to use either the Ayurvedic herbs that you were given or the substitutes. Like manjushka, it says to use red root tincture instead. That's probably the hardest substitute to find out of all the ones that they gave. The rest of them are really doable. Like turmeric you could buy at your grocery store, right, and just make plain turmeric supplements yourself. Or drink dandelion root tea. That's super common, and you can even make it if you have or dandelions growing around you that aren't being sprayed with pesticides. Liver repair, you can use milk thistle instead. That's really accessible as an herb in any natural food store. For the beet cleanse, you can just eat more raw beets. Now, I know that you can, some of you are like, oh, my God, I just bought so many beets. Remember, you only have to eat one beet tonic a day during phase one. That's just one beet. So you don't need to eat a beet tonic like all the time. Now, in my opinion, unless you have gout problems, which beets can exacerbate, like beets, the more the merrier. Know also that beets can turn your pee slightly pinkish reddish or your poo slightly pinkish reddish, or I think it turns the toilet bowl water actually really nice fuchsia. So anyway, just know that that's going to happen if you're not used to eating beets, all right? So you can eat more raw beets, or you can make fenugreek tea, a very affordable herb, all right, with fenugreek seed. With the regenerate, that is shilajit. That's what I was thinking of. So the, one of the main herbs in it is shilajit, and that is a very amazing Ayurvedic adaptogen, as are ashwagandha and amalaki. And, you know, there are other adaptogens that you might have easier access to where you are, like American ginseng or astragalus. But, you know, that might be the second most challenging one to replace if you don't have that. But then, hey, if you're not doing that, you need to really focus on doing the lifestyle changes, the alternate nostril breathing, the relaxation. Because what the Regenerate supplement does is it really helps your body adapt. It's basically full of adaptogens. And if you're not taking these adaptogens or you're not using them, you really need to make sure that you're giving your body other ways to be able to adapt to stress. Sugar destroyer, you can supplement with or substitute with cinnamon tea. And the warm or cool digest, page 45, there's a great alternative with just using some ginger and then lemon juice and sea salt, okay? The other essential part of this detox is what's called the 12-minute workout. There's so many reasons why this is an important part, and I recommend that you do this in the morning. Why in the morning? Well, primarily because when you do this in the morning, it's going to boost your metabolism, hence your access to your fat cells for the whole rest of the day, like for hours after you do this. It's also important because it's a 12-minute way for you to access cardiovascular benefit. The way that this is structured in terms of its interval training is such that you will be able to tap into conditioning your heart to deal with rapid changes of demand, like sprint and unrest. And it can be adapted to so many different people at any level of activity. Like Dr. Diard was saying, even with elderly people, he has them, you know, lift weights with cans because that will raise their heart rate. So, you know, no excuses. You're like, oh, my knees hurt or blah, blah, blah. You can find a way to get your heart rate up. And it's really important for you to play with that and discover what that is. So, again, coming from a place of no excuses but looking for creative solutions. So if you have knee problems or ankle problems and you can't work out like you usually do, what can you do? What can you do with your upper body? Can you do a bunch of sit-ups? Can you do like a bunch of weights with your arms to get your heart rate up? What can you do with what your body's able to right now to get you there, okay? And with the 12-minute workout, for those of you that haven't read it yet in the ebook, again, you're doing 2 minutes of warming up. And if you're not in the best shape, it's probably good to do your cardio at a high level for 1 minute and recover for a minute and a half instead of just recovering for a minute. And really, when you add this up, at the 1 minute intervals of 1 minute of exercise and 1 minute of recovery, you're only doing that four times. Four times, that's it. And then you recover again for 2 minutes. If you're doing 1 minute of cardio, sprinting, and sprinting, I'm not saying running, I just mean like heart rate sprinting, and then you're recovering for a minute and a half, you're only doing it three times. This is totally doable, and you can do that in the morning, all right? And also, you want to be breathing through your nose during that because that's a very calming effect. And again, stress relief practices, I would love that for you to not make them really optional and to really, instead of taking it all on, to pick the ones that you really know you can stick with that are beneficial, okay? For some people, the alternate nostril breathing, the Nadi Shodhana, is like amazing, and that is super relieving to them. For some people, it's going to be the yoga. Play with those different things. Find out what is most relaxing for you. I'm just going to take a quick pause here and see if anybody's raised their hand. And if you haven't been on these calls before, know that the way you can do that is to press star 2, okay? So the way you can do that is to press star 2. Or if you want to ask a question and you're on the webcast and can't call, what I'd love for you to do is go to the question and answer box on the left-hand side of the screen, and then go ahead and type in your question there. And every now and then, I will go over there. It looks like we have one question so far. Karen asks, what is the Ayurvedic theory you're teaching on parasites, and does this cleanse do anything in that regard? Why is it important that we need to sip the warm water rather than just drinking it? Okay, I'll answer your second one first, Karen. So the reason that we sip the hot water is because it's just to open up the pores to accept the room temperature water. So, you know what? In the end, I don't fucking care if you drink the warm water. It's going to get into your cells. But if you're trying, like some people really enjoy this structure. So, when you're sipping the hot water throughout the day, it's keeping your pores open for the room temperature water. Now, if you're drinking hot water all day, that's great, actually. I mean, that's fine. That's like soaking the leather in the hot water. And basically, if you're doing that, great. But most people can't drink adequate amounts of hot water throughout the day. So it's like, and again, this is hot water, like tea temperature water. Like, hey, have you a hot cup of tea temperature water? And so you want to sip that periodically to make sure that your pores stay open, the aquaporins of the cells stay open to receive the room temperature water, which is much easier to drink in larger quantities. Your other question was, what's the Ayurvedic teaching or theory on parasites, and does this do anything in that regard? Great question. This is not a parasitic cleanse per se. In Ayurveda, there are treatments for parasites. And in India, frankly, they do them fairly regularly because there are a lot of parasites in India everywhere. And so a lot of people are given these treatments. Usually in Ayurveda, the treatment is with anti-parasitic type herbs such as wormwood. It's great. Isn't that a great name for it? It's like, oh, this wormwood bark happens to be really helpful in treating parasites like worms and whatnot. Parasites definitely exist within the theory and teachings and treatments and, you know, the medical teachings of Ayurveda. In terms of this cleanse and how it helps with parasites, one of the main aspects of this cleanse and the reason it's done in phases is that phase one helps improve your digestion before the detox. So many cleanses, you guys, focus on eliminating the stress on your digestion and then just detoxing. And what's great about this cleanse is that it wants to not just eliminate the stressors on your digestive system and detox, it wants to improve your digestion. As Dr. Diard said, and as I've seen in my own practice, the more people improve their digestion, the less food sensitivities they have. You know, if you're walking around and you can only eat five things on this earth, something's wrong. There's nothing wrong with the food per se. It's like your body needs to improve its digestion. As you do these cleanses longer and more frequently, you know, like in terms of keep on doing them twice a year at a minimum, you can also over cleanse. Don't get obsessed about that. But if you're doing these, you know, in the spring and the fall, you will notice that you'll be able to have some of those foods that you couldn't tolerate before. Phase one improves your digestion so that when you eat very cleanly, even more cleanly in phase two, you're able to break down everything you are eating so that your body can also effectively, quote unquote, digest the toxins that are going to be released into your body. Because if you can't break down gluten or dairy very effectively, you're not going to be able to break down toxins very effectively in the big picture. So we're focusing on strengthening your digestion first and then really going into the detox in phase two. And that relates to parasites because when you improve your digestive tract, when you strengthen your gastrointestinal tract, it has better defense against parasites. We have 90% of the cells in our body are bugs. They're technically, you know, we live in symbiosis with hopefully most of them so that they're not hurting us health-wise. But in general, we have a lot of parasites in our body at all times. When you are having a healthy gut, which this cleanse supports, it will feed the good bacteria in our body, which will help overpower the bad ones that are taxing our body. So it does address parasites in that level. Now, if you have an active parasitic infection that's actively affecting your health, you need a treatment for that, and you could see a practitioner for that to do that. But in terms of helping purge your body of, you know, bad bacteria and helping improve the good ones, this cleanse does help with that. So I hope that answers your question there. Let me just see if any have come in yet. Okay, one person says here, oh, now it makes sense. I need to make my water hotter. Thanks. Okay, cool, Karen. CJ says, can you talk about the water target of half of ideal body weight in water ounces? As I usually hear, to drink half of your current body weight in water ounces. Yeah, that's kind of like a weird quirk of the ebook. Unfortunately, you know, with the cleanse, we can't, like Dr. Giard's book doesn't go into the reasoning of why everything is the way it is in the cleanse. So that's obviously why I have these question and answer sessions. So in that book, the bigger context of that is that if you are aiming for an ideal weight, you want to start training your body to be there. And so, you know, if you're doing this cleanse to also lose some weight, which is a common side effect of the cleanse, but not the goal of this particular cleanse, this is one of the things that Dr. Giard says a lot in general. So if it's throwing you off for the purpose of this cleanse, don't do it, because it's not going to affect you so much in these 2 weeks of cleansing. This is more, you know, if you're doing this cleanse, then you're like going into kind of like an Ayurvedic philosophy of weight loss. And that's just because a lot of people can overhydrate, and that's bad too. And so to keep from overhydrating, he likes to ask people to focus on, you know, what is your ideal weight? Now, having said that, the other part that that he goes into that he doesn't have time to in this particular book is, like, if you're wanting to lose 100 pounds, you don't go with that ideal body weight for your water intake. You can just go, like, by, you know, 50 pounds at a time or 25 pounds at a time. So it's actually an insignificant amount of difference, you know, in those smaller levels. But you definitely, like, if your goal is to lose 100 pounds, don't cut your water by 50%, I mean by 50 ounces. That's too much. You know, just cut it by, like, pretend you just want to lose 25 pounds and cut it by 12 and a half ounces, if that makes any sense. So if you're wanting a dramatic weight loss difference, don't use that ideal body weight for calculating your water intake. Look at it more like if you're wanting to lose 25 to 50 pounds and adjusting your ideal water intake then. All right. see what else, if anybody's raised their hand here. Nope. No star twos yet. Okay, cool. All right. So, let me see where I was. I would like to go into some of the different phases of the cleanse now. So, unless it doesn't seem like you guys had any questions about the self-care practices, so I don't want to waste time kind of explaining those because they're done in pretty good detail there. And for those of you that aren't familiar with the forum yet, know that you can head over there, and I posted a lot of videos as an example for each of the different self-care practices. All right. So, in phase one, let's talk a little bit about phase one that you guys are in as of today. So, with phase one, there's a big emphasis on apples, right? So with the apples, the reason is with the malic acid as well as the apple pectin. Now, you can get a lot of these benefits also from apple sauce. I know that some of you, depending on where you live, it may be cost prohibitive to buy organic apples, and or it may be hard to find tart apples as opposed to sweet apples. And definitely the more tart the apple, the more malic acid it has. And so if apples are a super challenge for you to get, either because they're cost prohibitive or difficult to access, go on Amazon and order some malic acid. You know, you could just, there's a protocol, I think, on page 60, where he talks about, you know, eating, stirring in 1 to 2 teaspoons of malic acid into 8 ounces of water and taking that in instead of the apples, okay? And you can definitely have some of these same benefits from apple sauce as well, even though it's not ideal. But remember, again, no excuses, looking for creative solutions. So that's our, you know, one of the ways you can get around the whole apple thing. And also, I think Rivka had posted in the group that she was, like, starting to notice allergy symptoms, but it is allergy season, folks. So note also if, you know, you're just experiencing allergies from the environment going on right now, and those do tend to get better as cleanses go on. I love how, like, you know, in the past when I've done my superfoods cleanse or the nourishing cleanse in spring, people start off with allergy symptoms, and then by the end of a 3 or 4 week cleanse, they're not needing their allergy meds anymore. This one is because it's not so much focused on removing allergens in foods, but detoxing the fat stores. You know, you may not notice it as quickly on this one, but some people notice it right away as well. The beet tonic. Okay, again, that's 1 to 3 times a day. So, you know, you don't need to go all crazy on the beets, but I personally love beets. And so, it's really excellent for thinning your bile, which will help you improve your digestion and what and natural detoxing. So definitely do the beet tonic. Definitely play with it if you want to find out different ways to make it more tasty. And you can also share those ideas on the forum, and that way other people can benefit from that too. And again, you can have cooked or roasted beets. It will still offer some of that. But the raw beets, you know, really have a lot of the more astringent quality for detoxing. And the green tonic. This is one of my most favorite things, but I just put it down. Put it down meaning like I slam it back and just, you know, make it part of my thing when I'm doing this cleanse. So basically, again, just once a day. If you don't like it, just do it once a day for your body, okay? And remember, I know that it can be easy for the badass women in my tribe, freedom junkies, want to kind of take things to the max. Like, they're like, I'm going to do the most, like, hardcore method, and I'm going to do, like, you know, the beet tonics 3 times a day, and I'm going to do the green tonic 2 times a day, and I'm going to do the most austere not going to do the nourishing meal option for phase two. I'm going to do like the one where it's just kitchery the whole time. And it's like, you know, you don't need to do that to get benefit from the cleanse at all. You could eat as much as you want, eat the minimum amount of the tonics that you want, and in phase two, eat the nourishing. In fact, I encourage you to start with the nourishing option so that you're relaxed when you're into it and not like on day two of, or of phase two going, like, oh my God, I'm so sick of this Kitchery shit. Like, this cleanse sucks, right? So make it as easy for you as possible because you will detox more effectively the less stressed out you are. So in terms of phase one, I'll kind of go back into a little bit more about the flow of phase one in a little bit. But phase two, right, some of the unique things about phase two are that we start with morning ghee. Ghee is that clarified butter. And remember, you can substitute like coconut oil for that if you have to. And the main thing is ghee offers a lot of different nutrients other than just fat and the fact that it's from India, okay? It's clarified. Now, if you have lactose intolerance, the vast majority of people that I've known and have worked with have been able to use ghee still because it's the fat that's removed aside from the lactose and the other things that are in butter. And so the lactose is no longer in there. So unless you have like an anaphylactic reaction, like a systemic reaction where your throat closes up and you can't breathe and whatnot with, or you have like hives with milk, usually this will not be a problem for you and you won't experience the same digestive issues and whatnot that you might with ice cream or something like that, okay? So the purpose of having the fat in the morning is, first of all, to supply you with the fat that you need. We all need fat. It's just that during this phase, which is 7 days, so phase one is 4 days, phase two is 7 days. Because of this phase is all about accessing your fat toxins, your fat-soluble toxins, you want to give yourself enough fat to last throughout the day, but not so much that it won't access your fat stores. Because I tell you, these people that eat low-fat diets forever, like people who eat low-fat diets all the time still don't access their fat stores because their body ends up freaking out. That's why this phase is the length that it is. You don't want to eat this low fat forever. It's not good for you. But when you're detoxing seasonally, it's great for you because you're doing it for a short amount of time. You're giving your body exactly what it needs with everything else, and you're having your oleation in the morning. So oleation is that term for, you know, eating the fat in the morning, which will give you yummy fat-soluble nutrients during the cleanse since the rest of the day in phase two is non-fat. Phase one is low fat, so you can have some seeds and avocados and things like that in phase one. Phase two, non-fat, except for your morning ghee, okay? And so it's really important to take this ghee, otherwise you're going to be way too hungry, sister. So, you're going to have fat-soluble nutrients during the cleanse, and most importantly for this cleanse, you need fat in order to bind the fat-soluble toxins that are being released during phase two. So this, you're going to ingest in the morning. You're going to melt it. I, frankly, do not like straight-up melted ghee, especially in those higher doses as you increase the dose throughout phase two. I like to mix it, you know, with coconut milk or something like that. And again, we're not talking fat coconut cream in the can. We're talking coconut milk or rice milk or almond milk, whatever. And then I do put some of the, I like nutmeg in it and stuff. It just makes it much more palatable for me. And you take that first thing in the morning on an empty stomach. You let it be like, you let it kind of line your gut. Like Pepto-Bismol, the one that coats is the only one that you need. This is going to coat your GI tract and your lining of your intestines so that it's like, hello, I'm here. Come bind to me, toxins. And the toxins will bind to that ghee, and then you're going to poo it out. So it's really important to be sure you're pooing every day, okay? And that you should have no problem with this ghee, but if you do, let me know on the forum or something, and then we can help you out there with some other ideas. But this cleanse usually helps people become more regular. In fact, you might have kind of loose bowels, which is normal as well. Especially if you're taking the herbs, you should be good. All right. And the other thing is that it lubricates your tissues, which is why pooing won't be so much of a problem. And it will trigger your fat metabolism, believe it or not. That's why, I mean, when people just cut out fat entirely, they actually end up having a harder time accessing their fat. And it will flush the liver and the gallbladder. If you don't have a gallbladder, so many people have their gallbladders these days, just stick to 2 to 3 teaspoons of ghee. Don't go any higher than that because, you know, the gallbladder usually helps you process these fats. And if you don't have one, you know, no need to keep adding more. So 2 to 3 teaspoons of ghee if you don't have a gallbladder, okay? All right. And so, I already mentioned, the other thing is flax or olive oil if you can't do the ghee, okay? So, coconut oil, especially if you don't have a gallbladder, but, you know, in terms of being able to flush the liver and the gallbladder, flaxseed and olive oil are probably preferred over coconut oil. But really, it's a very subtle difference. You will experience benefits from everything. The one that works is the one you're going to use. I like coconut oil. So, like, when I can't tolerate the ghee, I just go to my coconut oil because I know at least I'll be able to take it in. And you will still get the benefits, okay? Now, you want to back off on the ghee if you're having muscle aches and pains, if you have nausea. So, some people, after they take the ghee, feel kind of grossed out, like, by the fat. And so, what you can do is make sure that you don't want to eat anything ideally for half an hour after the ghee in order to give it time to line your gastrointestinal tract. But after half an hour, have something to eat, even if you feel full from the ghee, because that will help calm your nausea down a little bit, okay? And also, because it causes you to poo more, you might find that you're losing weight too quickly, especially if you're a Vata type, and maybe even sometimes Pitta. Kapha doesn't have too much of a problem with this. But if you're losing weight too quickly, you may just need to cut back a little bit. And the thing about the strong muscle aches and pains is because if you're pooing too much, you may be losing too many electrolytes through that. If your stools are too loose, then that can cause the cramping and stuff. And also, if you're feeling really crappy, like you're not able to function at work, you're feeling foggy-headed, exhausted, headachy, well, the ghee is doing its job. What it's doing is it's pulling the toxins out. And, you know, that can just be a little bit too intense for some people, especially if you've been relatively toxic in the past few months or years. So back off a little bit. You're still going to get the benefit. You just need to pace it, okay? Just go back to the dose of ghee that you were comfortable at before. And if you're using the herbs, you stop the herbs. Now, ideally, you can stay on the ghee and just try stopping the herbs first. And page 40 has more on, like, kind of how to taper back onto them. Basically, you stop, and then you take them again with just lunch, and then you add them in again for the other meals. But if that doesn't cut it, then reduce the ghee. And then if that doesn't cut it in phase two, then you're not already eating off of the nourishing meal plan, go to the nourishing meal plan. Or just eat more if you're already on the nourishing meal plan. Add more organic meats to your meal. So in terms of how do you know when you're stressed out or when you're just being a, like, whiny baby? So here's the thing. For people that are used to more nourishing cleanses that aren't as strictly focused on detoxing, you may have strong reactions to this cleanse. And you may be like, this cleanse makes me feel like shit. I don't like it. And it's like, that's important to listen to because everybody's body is different. That's why I encourage everybody to try different cleanses, experiment with things so that you see what works for you. However, I encourage you to stick with this cleanse so that you can learn what happens to your body when you stick with it for the duration, okay? And then you can just say, oh, that was awesome for me. The first 3 days sucked, but then I felt amazing. Or you can say, you know what? That type of cleanse just doesn't do it for me. Like, some people love juice cleanses. Some people can't do well on them at all. You know, some people love nourishing cleanses. Some people don't notice anything from them. So it's a matter of playing with things so that you learn what your body likes. Now, most powerful detoxes do result in you feeling like crap for a while. That's why I love my nourishing cleanses, because I can do them regularly. I can still function. They tend to not totally mess me up. They reset my system. I feel great. But it's also important to do these more powerful detoxes at times, because that's when your shit really gets brought out. And I mean on all levels. Like, that's when the deep fat soluble toxins get pulled out of your body. And that's when the deep kind of like emotional molecules get pulled out of those fat stores as well. And it feels uncomfortable. It feels unsettling. You know, we can have headaches, we can feel malaise, we can feel like crap. It's like this is your body purging those toxins. They were stored away in your fat cells, all nice and cozy, and now they're being released and your body's experiencing them again. And I don't know if you guys have felt this in getting massage or doing yoga, but like, you know, when I do certain poses, it's like, oh, I don't like this pose. I feel like crap in this pose because it's releasing these emotions that I've had stored up in there, but if I just sit with it and let it flow, that emotion's now gone. And my body is better because of it. But if I avoided that pose because I didn't want to feel that emotion, that crappy emotion as it was being released, it would still be in my body and it's causing toxicity and it's building up in my body. So I encourage you, if you're feeling bad, to share. All right, not complain. We all know if you've worked with me long enough, complaining doesn't do jack shit. Complaining is not helpful. Asking for help, you know, sharing, letting people know, oh, my God, I have, like, the worst headache. What can I do? Okay? So there's lots of things you can do. One thing I will tell you, just off the top of my head, because headaches are so common during detoxing, is that you want to drink more water, back off the herbs, back off the ghee, eat more protein, and you also can put a hot pack on your, a cold pack on your forehead, and then you want to soak your feet in hot water or put them on a hot water bottle. And the thing is, the vasoconstriction that happens when you put the ice on your forehead and the vasodilation that happens in your feet when they're in hot water totally like draws your energy downward, draws the circulation downward, and can improve the vast majority of detox headaches. So I just want to tell you that one right off the bat, just so that you know that that's there for you if you start experiencing that, okay? And again, water, water, water. Make sure that, you're hydrating. And interestingly, it is recommended to avoid coffee and things like that on this cleanse, but it's not like the main thing. So if you're having, you know, super-duper caffeine withdrawals on this cleanse, you drinking coffee is not so much going to affect us accessing the toxins in your fat stores, which is, again, the main goal. So don't let that become a scapegoat for you to not focus on the other parts of the cleanse, okay? So bring things up in the forum. So discomfort and stretching is good, okay? That is what's going to happen on this cleanse, especially if you're not used to it. But the other thing is, we can also push our bodies too far, especially if you're pitta type or if you're like tend to beat yourself up about things. So if your body is actually straining, don't just stop the cleanse. Just alter things so that you can feel more nourished and feel safer in doing the cleanse. Okay, you don't want to have a blood sugar crash because that's going to stress you out and you're going to binge eat or get pissed at your partner or your kids or, you know, you're going to be pissy towards yourself. So be sure to do what it takes to take care of yourself during the cleanse. You are still going to get benefit from the cleanse, okay, no matter what. Because you're going to, you know, you're going to be taking in the tonics. You're going to be taking in the herbs or the herbal alternatives. You're going to be doing a lot of these things that are going to give you the benefits of a cleanse. Okay. It's just a matter of like, how deep of the detox do we need to get into? Do whatever you're comfortable with this time around, and then you'll go deeper the next time. I'm hoping, at least, that this isn't the only cleanse or detox that you'll ever do. Let me just check real quick for any questions. Is the 12-minute workout every day of every phase? Yes, ma'am. I think it's a ma'am. So 12-minute workout every day of every phase, yes. Now, it says here, for the specific herbs, is the only source of light spa the proprietary brand. Well, for this particular cleanse, that's the easiest way to do it. You can also try to get Ayurvedic herbs from Banyan Botanicals, which I love. I love Banyan Botanicals. For this particular cleanse, I just find that Dr. Duyard's blends are really, they make a lot of sense, and they work really well with the different phases, and there's a protocol for them. But if in general you're looking for the specific herbs, they are pretty hard to find over the counter. There are some cities that have stores that carry Banyan Botanicals, that's B-A-N-Y-A-N. What you can do is just print out some of the ingredients and look for comparable products. Ayurvedic herbs are hard to come by. I order all of mine online because I want very specific brands, like Light Spa and Banyan Botanicals are the only two that I will regularly order from because I know that they test for heavy metals and things like that. And so, So I would basically look either at Light Spa, but if you use the link I gave you in the email, you will get like the option to have a free gift, and then you'll also receive it faster because if you order the herbs from Light Spa without my link, they think that you're not doing a cleanse with another coach, and so they kind of just put it on the back burner and ship out to everyone else first. So that's the main benefit of doing it. And plus, I absorb some of the shipping costs. But if you just want like one herb or two herbs, you can order it off the Light Spa. You may just not get it very quickly in general, just so you know. That's why I had people check it out, you know, way before the cleanse started. Or Banyan Botanicals. And you can tell them kind of like what you're doing and you're looking for a comparable one. All right? Yes, I already answered. 12-minute workout every day of every phase. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Let's see if there's anything else here. I'm just checking for any hands going up. None yet. Okay, great. So, where were we? All right. So, in terms of the meal options in phase two, you can do Khichdi, okay? And you can do... with the Nourish. You do chicory all the time on any of these options, but in the nourishing one, which I recommend everyone start with, unless you've done a cleanse like a heavy-duty detox like this before, you have the khichdi, the steamed veggies, salad, and oatmeal. And again, it's not about quantity. You eat as much of those as you want, okay? And you're also adding in, you know, the apples and things like that. So... the other option is the Rejuvenate, and that's basically khichdi with steamed veggies. And I know a lot of you were saying, like, oh, where I live, I can't find the split yellow mung dal. You know, if you read the ebook, it does say, like, you can substitute, if you're getting sick of khichdi, any gluten-free grain as well as any bean. And I think I answered a question like this on the forum, but it was basically, like, you know, you can use quinoa if you don't like basmati rice, or maybe you crash too much between meals, so you need more protein, use quinoa. It has way more protein to hold you over. And then you can put, smaller beans are better, and you want to soak your beans overnight, and you want to cook them with kombu seaweed so that it helps break it down and make it easier to digest. So you can substitute stuff for sure if you're not into the khichdi recipe. Use the spices, okay, to help make it taste better. And then remember, you can always add some additional protein if you need to, like some organic meat or something like that if you have to, okay? Transform is just the most detoxifying and healing because it's easy. It's just basically mung dal and rice. You're having khichdi and only khichdi for all 7 days. I do not recommend you start here unless you know you can handle it because it's going to be too stressful. Start with nourishing, and when that becomes easy for you, go to the next one. Okay, you're still going to get benefit. And then in phase two, we're also starting with the self-inquiry. So you're going to get the daily emails because as you're releasing these fat toxins, your emotional stuff is also getting released. And so it's really important to create time to reflect on these things. So really set aside time every day during phase two in particular to do these journaling activities and to reflect on the emotions that are coming up and on what's going on so that you can release those and let those move through you just like the other toxins are. And I would love if people shared about these things on the forum too, because this can be some of the most profound part of the cleanse is when this shit comes up and you're dealing with it, okay? And this goes on until day 11. And at the end of day 11, we're going to do the final flush, which is the one laxative phase of the cleanse. But that's going to be after a third call, so I'm just not even going to go into that today, all right? We have a few more minutes left, so I wanted to save some time for any additional questions. Let me see here if anybody has any. Remember, you can press star 2. To raise your hand, I'm going to refresh my online questions here. Where do I find the live spa link? Which email? I had sent a link for the herbs. You should have received it shortly after your welcome email. You can Google herbs and supplement info in your inbox, and then it should find that. I sent a separate email after the welcome email that had all the information about the herbs. Most people received it like at max 2 or 3 days after the welcome email. And if you signed up a little later, you will have received it an hour or two after the original welcome email. So whoever sent that in, if you can't find it, shoot me an email and I'll have Danelle or Emily send it to you again, but you definitely should have received it. It showed that it went out to everyone. Who knows? It might have ended up in your junk email box. So that's a good reminder. I can tell people, please, 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 if you have Gmail, go to your promotions tab and always drag and drop every email from me that you find in there into your primary tab. And then at the top, it'll ask, do you want this to happen with all emails from Anna Verzoni? And then you click yes. If you don't do that, you'll just have to do this over and over and over. And maybe you'll get some and maybe you won't. But the best thing is to drag and drop and then click yes when it asks you if you want it to do that for all future emails from me. And it still is not foolproof. So you do actually always want to check that folder. It super annoys me because I love Gmail, but it has kept me from getting some things that I really wanted to hear about, like from people I love, you know, like promotions that I really wanted to know about. I'm just checking for any more questions here. I didn't see any. Waiting for an email to refresh. So we've gone through, you know, the main guidelines. We've gone through phase 1 and 2. We've gone over the detox symptoms, sugar crashes, emotional symptoms, you know, really dropping into the self-inquiry part of phase 2. And I just really want you to make sure to commit to the lifestyle changes, you guys, because that's really going to make a huge difference to you on this detox and successfully accessing your fat-soluble toxins, and being able to deal with the detox symptoms, okay? Oh, I see here one of the questions was about being on the road, right? Yeah, so a lot of you have actually mentioned to me that, like, you know, you're going to weddings and whatnot, and you're doing all kinds of, activities during the cleanse, and ideally that's something that we try to avoid when we're doing a deep detox. But life happens, right? This is how it is. So what I encourage you to do is to start the cleanse with everyone, you know, stick with it as long as you can, and then when you have your event or your thing going on, you try to stick with it as much as possible, and then you kind of come back to it where you left off. Like let's say you got 2 days into phase two, and then you had to go on a road trip for 3 or 4 days for events and things. It was really hard for you to stick to the cleanse. Well, stick to it as much as you can, right? Like make your tonic ahead of time, put it in a little cooler, take it throughout. Don't go all crazy and like drink a bunch of whiskey and stuff like that, you know, if you don't have to, if that's not like part of what you're doing. And then come back to the cleanse where you left off on day two of phase two and continue. You will have enough herbs left over to carry you through for several days after the cleanse is over anyway. So if you just keep taking those and keep, you know, in general, keeping with the guidelines as often as you can, like maybe you can do it for breakfast and lunch but not for dinner when you go out for everyone or something like that. The bottom line is do the best you can. I just really want to emphasize you're still going to get benefit, okay? Let's see if there's any other questions here. Nope, we're looking pretty good. All right, you guys. So one of the things that I just wanted to mention about Ayurveda in general is the concept of Dinacharya. And those of you in my Urban Wellness Club have already heard about this. I wrote an article about it a while ago. But it's basically Dinacharya is your daily ritual or your daily routine. That can be incorporated with these self-care rituals that are talked about in this cleanse. And basically, in Ayurveda, it's really important to have a ritual that you do in the morning that helps set the tone for the rest of the day. So you want to be able to really drop into a regular routine, ideally in Ayurveda, that helps you begin the day with positivity, with opening up all levels of your body. If you remember in the other calls I gave, I talked about how in Ayurveda there's like not just one body, but there's your breath body and your mind body and all these different, you know, levels of body. And if you do all of those self-care rituals that I talk about in terms of the links I put on the web, on the forum, and in terms of what's listed in the ebook here, that opens up all of your body levels. And so that will really help set the tone for your day. And some of you who ordered herbs through me also got a tongue scraper. That helps you analyze your ama or your digestive fire. You will notice that as the cleanse proceeds, you should have less of a coating on your tongue. At first, it might get thicker as your toxins are released more, but then as over time, you're going to notice that it's less and less and less. And so that can be part of your Dinacharya in the morning. You know, that's part of mine. I get up, I do my tongue scraping, I floss, I brush, I shower, I do my, you know, my yoga, I do my breathing exercise, I do my meditation, I do my self-massage. Done. And so really try to incorporate that Dinacharya, because part of this is also learning about Ayurveda. You don't have to on this detox, but I highly, highly, highly recommend it. And just notice how different your day is when you do your Dinacharya and when you don't. You will start noticing a qualitative difference because it is pretty phenomenal. Like pretty phenomenal how it works. I'm going to give you all one more chance here to give me your Q&A so I can give you the A to your Q. Oh, here's a few more. Okay. I'm a protein person. Is it okay in phase one to eat a hard-boiled chicken egg if I feel the need for my own free-range chicken? The only part about eggs, Deb, is the fat content. And so that's why kind of chicken meat itself is considered a little bit better than the egg in terms of fat. So I love eggs. I think they're the perfect food. Normally, I'd be like, eat them, because they're freaking awesome. But for the purposes of just these 2 weeks, I would say prioritize trying to eat more chicken meat because of the lower fat content than the chicken egg. Now, if you don't eat chicken meat and you know, you need the chicken egg, yes, you can do that. But what I would do, to be honest, to keep in alignment with the lower fat content is to take out the yolk. So just do the egg whites. So, you know, you can kind of crack the shell, pass the yolk back and forth between the shell to kind of siphon out the whites, and just do egg whites. And again, that's not because there's anything bad about yolk. Yolk is amazing and it's awesome, especially, oh my God, my mouth is watering because I love free-range organic chicken from my friends. Like, oh, the eggs are amazing and the yolk is so beautiful, like a sunset. But for the purposes of this, because we're trying to access your fat stores and prepping your body in phase one, for phase two, stick to the egg whites, okay? I hope that that helps. Let me see if there's anything else here. I think we're doing well on the questions here. Okay, everyone. Well, thank you so much for your time. I love doing these cleanses with you guys. I think you guys are all so brave for just even doing these and for, you know, getting out of your comfort zone. And really, it's some of the best things you can do for yourself, for your longevity and your glow and your thrive and your digestion. And you'll see, you'll notice, like, you know, the more people that cleanse and detox, the happier they are, the better immune systems they have. You're able to maintain your weight over a longer period of time if you do these regularly as opposed to regular yo-yo dieting and whatnot, okay? So definitely remain open to the challenges that come up during this cleanse. Look for solutions and not excuses to kind of cut out of certain parts of it. And use the forum and the tribe to pose any questions or any great insights you had. You know, like someone was sharing, you know, about not doing the rebound after drinking all their water. Other people are finding great alternatives by putting the beet tonic on greens instead of eating it by itself. So share those things and help each other out, which you're already doing. Continue to do so. You got this. You can totally do this. It's 2 weeks. You can do anything for 2 weeks. And I'm really excited to hear about, you know, what you've learned after doing this in the end. So many blessings to you. I will talk to you in 1 week, and I will see you on the forum with any other questions you might have. All right. Take care, you guys. Bye.